The cross was huge, at least 10 feet tall, and was suspended from the ceiling. From the time I was very young and took my first communion, and each time thereafter, whenever I walked up to the altar rail to receive, I would look up to Jesus on the cross. How real he seemed to me. From the painful-looking gash in his side rimmed with red and a clear fluid flowing beneath, to the burnished copper nails that had been hammered into his hands and feet, from the crown of thorns that dripped with blood onto his anguished forehead, to the wooden grain of the sculpted timbers, Jesus looked like a real person to me. There were even times when it seemed like he moved, or maybe even turned to look down at me as I sat with my family or walked up to the altar rail. And if I'm honest, there are times when I'm walking up to the front of the sanctuary here that it seems like I get eye contact. My family has always had crosses hanging up in their homes, from my Polish grandmother to my English-Irish mother, from my oldest to my youngest brother, to my own home. You'll find the cross of Christ there to remind us that if we let him, if we pick up our own crosses and follow him, he can reign over the everyday, all day. I remember we had this really beautiful black wooden cross which hung by our front door, rimmed in an aged silver patina, the crucified body of Jesus there on the cross, with a little scrolled sign at the top with the letters INRI etched into it. Latin, the language of Rome, for Jesus Nazarenus, Rex Iudae Orum, Jesus Nazarene, King of the Jews. Was the cross there to remind Mom and Dad, especially in their walk of trial and sorrow and upcoming separation and death, that Jesus knew their suffering, that he was there walking beside them, offering them his grace? Martin Luther believed that to be so, believed that God in Jesus suffers with us. So did Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who said, "Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it cost a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. You were bought at a price, and what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace, because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God." Knowing the power of faith in the life of my mom and the death of my dad, I believe that was true for them too. And though styles of crosses may be different, from primitive painted wood to Spanish ironwork, stained glass windows to a flashing neon Jesus Saves, to the simple cross embossed on the covers of the prayer books in our pews and in your hands, to the cross you may even be wearing today, the cross of Christ is a universal symbol. The cross was and is the moment when the grace of redemption came for you and for me. The separation gap from God we'd created through distancing behaviors of wrongdoing was and is closed forever through this one man's death, with a simple Latin commemoration written on a scrap of parchment tacked into the wood of a cross above his head for all to see and all to remember. Jesus lost his life on that hill long ago, and through his living sacrifice, he gave us back our own. For those who want to save their life will lose it, And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Just as he gave himself away for us, as disciples we're asked to give ourselves away in things both large and small. Because, my brothers and sisters, we're following Jesus right on up that hill. During the Lenten time of spiritual seeking and a deepening of faith, he's asking us to love one another just as sacrificially as he does us. He's asking us to give ourselves away with so much forgiveness that it'll flow out of us like rivers of so much grace. As Jesus saves, so we save others, serve others, protect and shelter them, work for justice, strive for peace, be Jesus, so that the kingdom Jesus modeled and died for might be an everyday reality for all people. Martin Luther King believed this of suffering. Human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable. Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertions and passionate concern of dedicated individuals. The symbol of the cross throughout the last 2,000 years has reminded us and centuries of disciples before us that we've been asked to shoulder its burden, to walk beside Jesus, to walk the Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrows, the painful way that Jesus walked. Sometimes transformation comes not when life is easy, but when it is hard, when we walk through times of trial or sorrow or suffering. To close with something Joseph Small wrote in Feasting on the Word, a theology of the cross declares that the church is not Christendom. Faith is not certainty. Hope is not optimism, and love is not painless. To confess Jesus as Messiah is to recognize his dying body on the cross, and to recognize that discipleship is the way of our own cross. And may all God's people say, Amen.